First reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, and chapter 1, and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them. And then we read from Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8 and verse 34. He called a crowd of his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life?" That's how far we'll read this morning. Amen. A few years ago, I was watching the news when a bulletin came on about something called Black Friday. How many of you have heard of Black Friday? Now, I had heard of Black Sunday, a disaster movie made in 1977 starring Bruce Dern and Martha Keller. In fact, I think I saw it, but I'd never heard of Black Friday. And so I watched the news item to find out more. And at first I wondered if they'd got the wrong footage, as it looked like we were watching the running of the bulls in Pamplona. And then I realized it was a shopping mall, and hordes of people were charging into a store with very determined looks on their faces. And in the pushing and the shoving, a person tripped and was immediately trampled underfoot. In another scene, I saw a fight broke out over a television set. The protagonist each had one end, and they were pulling and pushing and shoving. And apart from thinking it wasn't a very, very good television that they were fighting about in the first place, I have to admit, I felt a twinge of shame. A twinge of shame for being a human being. That for a so-called bargain on what normally amounted to old stock and rubbish, people were prepared to behave in a way that was so unbecoming. In a context where love of neighbor gave way to a free-for-all because retailers had supposedly lowered their prices and there was treasure to be had. And it wasn't just the young people who were behaving like barbarians. Senior citizens were there too, swinging handbags and whatever they could lay their hands on to save a few pennies. And I subsequently learned that the idea of Black Friday was born in the United States. And the earliest evidence of it was found in Philadelphia, where it was used, a term used to describe the heavy and disruptive pedestrian and vehicle traffic that would occur after Thanksgiving. And this usage dated to about 1961. More than 20 years later, as the phrase became more widely known, it was used to describe the day when retailers began to turn a profit, when they went from being in the red to being in the black, as they say. And at first, retailers would open their doors at 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Then they moved the time to 5 a.m., then to 4 a.m., and eventually retailers were opening their doors at midnight. And the time continued to be eroded until stores began opening on Thanksgiving. And then certain states brought in laws to stop them from opening on Thanksgiving. Since 2006, owing to violence breaking out in stores, there have been 10 reported deaths and 111 injuries on Black Friday. In one instance, a 34-year-old employee of a well-known retailer was trampled to death. And the shoppers didn't seem overly concerned with the victim's fate. When other employees tried to get to the person, the stampede just continued. The shoppers complaining that they'd been standing out in the cold for far too long and had run out of patience. When the police arrived and tried to help the victim, shoppers continued to pour into the store, pushing and shoving the officers out of the way to get to the bargains. At a well-known toy store on the same day, a woman who had cut into a very long line of shoppers pulled out a gun and threatened to shoot anyone who objected to her cutting into the line. In the UK, the term Black Friday had its origins with the police and the NHS and referred to the Friday before Christmas, where plans were activated to deal with the extra workload. But at the start of the 21st century, certain retailers wanted to introduce the term to mean shopping. And in 2014, the term was adopted by retailers introducing discounted prices to entice Christmas shoppers. It was a day when police were called to shops all across the country to deal with the issues of crowd issues and assaults and the threatening of customers and traffic problems. Nevertheless, people managed to spend £2 billion on that particular day. Perhaps on a much more serious note, I remember watching the news during the dark days of apartheid, where mobs of people would capture someone that they believed to be a police informant. And whipped into a frenzy, they would place a rubber tire over that person, douse them with petrol, and set them alight. I've recently been reading a biography of the life and times of Napoleon Bonaparte, and some of the ground covered speaks of the revolution that took place in France some 220 years ago, and the 40,000 people who were killed in what came to be known as the Reign of Terror. And we've seen such things all over the globe throughout time, people behaving as if they've lost their minds, throwing away any sense of dignity, treating each other as nothing more than adversaries. Now, friends, I don't have too many problems with shopping. After all, I'm a shopper myself, although I tend to stay away from stores on Black Friday. What I have a problem with is how we see others, how we understand others, especially in circumstances where there happens to be little sense of individuality of the individual. The fact that people in mobs often seem to lose control and behave in ways they probably wouldn't if it was a simple one-on-one, face-to-face with someone else. The fact that bargain discounts can lead to the deaths of people will become more important than the lives of people. And also the fact that businesses seem to shamelessly prey on the mentality of the mob. In a nutshell, my problem with something like Black Friday is this: what becomes of the image of God in people? In the book of Genesis chapter 1, as we've read, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. In verse 31, we read, God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Let us make humankind in our image. I think these are astonishing words. Astonishing in the sense that it seems we aren't simply physical bodies of flesh and blood alone. We do not live by instinct as other creatures seem to live. Instead, we have been made in the image of God. But what does this mean? And some have understood this to mean that we have power, that we can do whatever we like on the face of this earth. And I like to think that it means something more than that. That humanity was like God in the sense that human beings had the power of thought, the power of communication, the power of self-transcendence. That we could actually rise above the mundane, simple, physical things that keep us alive in order to experience meaning, in order to relate to God, in order to live in harmony and in peace with one another. The image, thus, is a precious gift. It has great value and immense meaning, value and meaning that we are called to recognize and also acknowledge in one another. Because when we do, to put it very simply, life for everybody is good. Now, we haven't read it this morning, but in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we find a fascinating story, I think well known to almost everyone. It's the story of two brothers. One was named Cain, and the other was... And they had a brother called... Just checking. We always leave old Seth out, don't we? And these guys were the sons of Adam and Eve, and they may have been twins. Cain, we are told, was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. And both brought their offerings to the Lord. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought a firstling of his flock. And God, we are told, favored Abel's offering over Cain's. We aren't really told why, but we are told that Cain was furious. And God said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." And then Cain encouraged his brother to go out with him to the field, and Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. And one of the interesting things that emerges from this fascinating story is the fact that Cain might not have intended to kill his brother. You see, up until this point in the story, there'd be no such thing as death, and therefore no way that anyone could clearly imagine what death might be. Cain struck out at Abel in anger because he was jealous that his brother's offering seemed to be more pleasing to God, but who can say that he had any deliberate purpose to end his brother's life? And when Abel fell and didn't get up, Cain may have been astonished at what he was witnessing. Little by little, however, it dawned on Cain that something had happened beyond the framework of his previous imagining. And God said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And Cain replied, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And God told Cain that he would be cursed, that he would be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, but God would protect him by placing a mark on Cain. And Cain, we are told, went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, friends, there are many things we can mine from this story, but for today, I only want to look at the condition, if you like, of Cain's heart. No matter what Cain might have done to his brother, and no matter what he might have intended, he thought only of himself. He was self-absorbed. Shall I put this off? He was self-absorbed. And thus, when his brother received the favor of God, instead of raising himself up to the level of his brother and seeking to do better, Cain sought to bring everything crashing down. Cain sought to destroy. And such was the overestimation of his self-worth that when that self-worth took a knock, it reacted And it reacted by destroying that which was truly worthy, the humble Abel, who showed no signs of lording God's favor over his brother. At no point did Cain step back and think about what consequences his actions would incur. At no point did Cain think about the life and the value of his brother Abel. Putting self first and his damaged pride, he lashed out in anger, and Abel, his innocent brother, paid the price. In other words, Cain extinguished the image of God in him. And of course, we might say, well, we can hardly compare Cain murdering Abel with the retail shopping day called Black Friday. And I have to say, I think that's partly true, but only partly. Because I think the same self-absorption and skewed sense of self-importance that drove Cain to do what he did, even if he didn't mean to kill his brother, is that which drives people to behave the way they do when they're part of a mob with a goal in mind. A self-absorption, a sense of self-importance, a sense of greed that descends like a red mist and blinds us to the image of God, not only in ourselves and our own hearts, but also in others. And I believe Jesus always saw the image of God in other people, in the people that he encountered along the way. In fact, it's one of the main reasons that I was happy to commit my life to following Jesus and to following his way. No matter who the person was, no matter how encrusted that image, Jesus gave them time, he afforded them dignity, and he sought to bring healing to whatever brokenness resided in them. No matter what their station in life, it seems they mattered to him. And the calling on us, on our lives, is to be the same. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that we've just finished in our growth group, in the last chapter of that letter, after having to deal with much hardship and pain from a congregation of people who seemed determined to break Paul's heart by the way they behaved towards him and each other, Paul exhorted them to examine themselves and to see whether they were living in the faith. "Test yourselves," Paul wrote. "Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you?" In other words, having the Spirit of Christ in them, their way of life wasn't to be a way of self-absorption and one of greed. It was to be a way of self-sacrifice and one of love, of putting others first, of honoring the image of God in them. And I think Jesus put it this way: if you any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? And I prefer the King James Version. It says it like this: "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And we lose our souls when we let baser feelings get the better of us, when we believe we can be ungodly in the middle of a mob. We lose our souls when we lower God's standards of what it means to be human and see others simply as adversaries or even obstacles in the way. Finally, if you want to score a bargain on Black Friday, which happens to be the Friday, this Friday coming, although some stores are having Black Friday this entire week, what I say to you is go for it. Because I'll never tell you what you should and shouldn't do. And Black Friday was simply the vehicle, if you like, for my message this morning. But do take time, when you think about yourself and others, to remember the fact that we believe that we have been created in the image of God, and therefore dignity and respect and thoughtfulness must be in the forefront of our hearts and our minds and our souls. Amen.